Now that I've been arrested, I'm not really sure whether what my mother said and everything I've heard is true. Do you know a circumstance can come into your life that make you doubt who you are? It makes you doubt whether God loves you or not, whether God cares about you. Maybe sickness affects you and you begin to wonder, has God forsaken me? Or your promotion is bypassed and you wonder, has God forsaken me? And if you are not careful, your circumstance can let you lose faith in your identity in God. But Jesus was asked, are you the king? He says, well, you have said it rightly, I am. In other words, even though I have been arrested, even though I have been beaten, even though I have received some slaps, even though blood is coming out of my nose, even though there are people spitting on me, even though I seem to have failed at this point in life, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a king. I belong to God. You have to be firm in this face of obstacles about your identity with God. God doesn't forsake you because problems come your way. He is still with you, and you have to confess that he is still with you. Secondly, Christ was aware of the awesome power he had. He was aware of the power. He says, you have no idea what my kingdom is all about, because if I really felt threatened, you would not be standing here. He was aware of the power at his disposal. Remember, child of God, that not only are you a child of God, but you have the power of heaven backing you up. The power of heaven is backing you up. And at this time in the life of Jesus, the power of heaven is backing him up, but he's still being spat upon. And the fact that the power of heaven is backing you up doesn't mean that there may be instances in your life when people will spit on you. The people will pull your beard and people will knock you down and people will betray you. But it does not mean God has removed his hand from you. God's hand is upon you. And don't ever get to a situation where you begin to doubt whether God is for you or against you. Because he is with you. He has sworn he will never leave you nor forsake you until the end of the world. And the last time I checked, the world hasn't ended yet. Christ was aware of the awesome power he had. Thirdly, he knew the exact purpose of his life. For this purpose, for this cause I came. He knew what his life was about. Child of God, you have to know what your life is all about. You are not just here just to have fun and fly away someday. You are here because God wants to work a purpose in your life. And sometimes when God is working his purpose in your life, sometimes before he takes you to the mountain, he has to take you through the valley. So when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you still have to know you are going to go to the mountain. For this purpose, you were called to enter the mountain. So the gap between you and your assignment, it's just an interim. And sometimes things can happen in that interim. But when they happen, remember, as the scripture puts it, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. And it came to pass. Tell your neighbor, and it came to pass. What you are going through today has come, but it will pass. It doesn't come to stay. It came to pass. I'm sure Jesus was laughing in his head. He says, Pilate, you have no idea. Just wait 3 more days and the story will be different. This man who seems helpless before you, whom you are going to crucify, check what happens 2,000 years from now. You will just be a footnote in reference to him, but history will be determined by him. Jesus knew his purpose, he knew his life, he knew his assignment, and he knew this time with Pilate is not the end of his life. It's not the permanent feature in his life. It is something that has come, but it will come to pass. When you go through difficulty, don't talk as if that is the end of your life. It will come to pass. Fourth, Christ was fully assured of his future. He was fully assured of his future. I like when Pilate says, I have power. I can crucify you, or I can free you. And Jesus was saying, you have nothing. Here is somebody who's been chained. He's been beaten. The mob are there saying, crucify him. And the man says, I can free you. And Jesus says, you have nothing. The real power is from above. That's where the real power is. I want you to know, the enemies around you, they have nothing. The real power is from above. Your boss, he has nothing. The real power is from above. That guy who threatened you and told you over his dead body, would your business ever succeed? He has nothing. We just pray his prophecy will not come true. But he has nothing. The power is from above. And because God has you in his hand, your future is secure. Your future is secure because he's got you in the palm of his hand. He will hold you. He will keep you. He will guide you. The end will be good. He says he knows the thoughts he has towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to the expected end. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them, my life will end right. I don't know what you're going through, but it's going to end right. I don't know what people have said about you, but it will end right. Because the power is from above. And with that man who is above, you've got some good connections with him. You talk to him every morning. You read his letters to you every day. You know his thoughts towards you. And if it is left to him alone, then everything is all right. Because you can talk to him and you can bypass his secretary and talk to the boss himself. Not the angels. You don't pray to the angel, Angel Gabriel, Angel Michael. Can you please talk to Angel Raphael? Angel Raphael, can you also please talk to the angel, the one there, the one the master talks to every time? No. Bypass that protocol and talk to he himself. Because the Bible says we have boldness of access to his throne room. And we can come boldly before him. The believer's confession, therefore, is based on these three important truths. First, who you are in Christ, your position in Christ. Everything you say about yourself, what you confess, what you declare, must be related to your position in Christ. And you must go through the New Testament and find out statements that identify your position in Christ. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's your position. That's what you are and who you are in Christ. You may have come to Christ broken down, but when you come into him, your position changes. You may have come to him abandoned, but when you come to him, your position changes. You may come to him a sinner, but when you come to him, your position changes. And you don't have to allow your past before Christ to intimidate your present in Christ. Because if anyone is in Christ, and I can guarantee every one of you here is anyone. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. You are a brand new person. Have you looked yourself in the mirror of late? You may not have changed much on the outside, but something on the inside is working up a tremendous change on the inside of you. You have to declare your position in Christ. Secondly, the believer's confession is based on what you have through Christ, your possessions. Not only do you have a position in Christ, you have a possession in Christ. You have something in Christ. 2 Peter verse chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." We have all things. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given to us. That's your possession. All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. I don't know what pertains to life, but I know that there are things which pertain to godliness and there are things which pertain to life. Godliness, you need salvation. You need righteousness. You need holiness. He's given to us all things that pertain to godliness. So we have salvation in Christ. We have holiness in Christ. We have righteousness in Christ. We have grace in Christ. We have mercy in Christ. We have his favor. That's godliness. What about life? All things that pertain to life. Talents, ability, skill, opportunity, money. Because he became poor that we might be made rich. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have all things. Thirdly, your confession must be about what you can do through Christ, your potential. Position, possession, potential. The believer's confession is not about circumstance. It's not about what people are doing about you. It's about your position in Christ, your possession in Christ, your potential in Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It didn't say, "I have done all things." It says, "I can." That means I have the potential. I have the potential. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I believe that scripture with all my heart. Except I don't want to be it. But if I want to be it, I can become it. I have the ability to learn. I can learn. I can understand. I have a good brain. You have a good brain too. And don't let anybody tell you your brain is weak. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can study mathematics, algebra, trigonometry, calculus. You can study all of that and you can understand it because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can start a business and you will succeed because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Your position, your possession, and your potential. Every word that comes out of your mouth must affirm these three things. Your position in Christ, your possession in Christ, your potential in Christ. You don't go through life saying, "As for me, I'm nothing." You are something. You say, "As for me, you know, nothing I do works." That's not the truth. That's not what the Bible says about you. He says you can do all things. "As for me, I have nobody. I have nobody." You have all things. If God be for you, who can be against you? You have God. You have Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. How can you talk like somebody who has nobody? Because some miserable man left you for another miserable looking woman. Two miserable fellows. And they left you beautiful, God-filled, potential-filled, ability-filled woman. Don't tell me you have nobody. You have Jehovah on your side. You can do all things. You are in Christ. And the same goes for the men too. So how do we confess God's word? How do we confess God? How do we do it? Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 13, verses 5 to 6. Hebrews 13, 5 to 6. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I want you to note, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say. So on what basis do we confess the word of God? One, we confess what God says. He has said it. That's why we say it. He says we are the head and not the tail. So we say we are the head and not the tail. He has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So we can boldly say. We say it because God said it. Even if the teacher missed it, God said it. Even if your husband missed it, God said it. If your wife missed it, God said it. If your best friend missed it, God said it. If Ghana missed it, God said it. I'm sure that there are a lot of people here who have disappointed the prophecy of their teachers. I am sure there are some teachers of mine who would listen to me and say, is that the boy who was in my class? I thought his brain was dead. That's what they heard. But that's not what God said. He says, I can do all things. I may be the bottom of the class, but in Christ, I am the head and not the tail. Say what God says. God says you are the head and not the tail. Secondly, personalize the promises of God. Personalize it. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we more boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is not the helper. He is my helper. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. There may be 6.5 billion people on the earth, but God knows you as an individual. And when he is your helper, he is your individual personal helper.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otterville@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.